Hello there, podcast aficionados. Welcome to the Credo Cast, where I, John Doherty, the founder of Credo, speak with marketing agency owners and consultants, as well as the occasional entrepreneur, of course, to dissect how they got started, what they wish they had done differently in building their business and career, and more. Really quick, what is Credo? Credo, getcredo.com, is a marketplace that connects businesses looking to grow their business with the right digital marketing agency or consultant for them. This is based off of their budget, types of services needed, and more. Finding an agency or consultant is hard, so Credo exists to make that easier. I saw my friends who own small businesses themselves hiring bad agencies or consultants and then having to spend even more money to fix those problems. So I started Credo. Every agency or consultant on the platform is vetted to the highest quality, so you can be sure that you're getting the best in the industry. So if you're a business looking to hire an agency or a consultant, or if you're an agency or consultant looking to get more clients, visit getcredo.com today to get started. I should also mention one of my favorite tools that I use to run my business as a solo entrepreneur. It's called Bench, bench.co. They take care of my bookkeeping for me. It's not often that someone raves about bookkeeping, but I actually look forward to my quarterly catch-ups with my bookkeeper. Bench is doing it right, and they make my life as a solo entrepreneur easier. So if you go to getcredo.com/bench, that's getcredo.com/bench, and sign up from there, you'll get your first month free. All right, on to the show. Hello there, everyone. Welcome back once again to another episode of the Credo Cast, where I, John Doherty, dig into the founding stories and entrepreneurial journeys of digital marketing professionals, agency founders, entrepreneurs, people of that sort, to provide you with information about how different agencies are growing, how companies are growing, and how entrepreneurs deal with the challenges that we face every single day. So today I have with me Kaylee Moore, who is a digital marketer, digital marketing founder. She is not actually on Credo at this point, but I've seen her around the web for a long time on inbound.org and places like that. And we're also part of a group of really smart growth marketers. And so reached out to her, and she was kind enough to come onto the show. So Kaylee, welcome. And why don't you give us a little bit of an intro as to yourself and what you're up to these days?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I have been basically working in digital marketing for about 3 years now. And before that, my background was in public relations. So kind of a natural transition for me. But my focus now is mainly on freelance copywriting. And I spend the majority of my time producing blog content for SaaS and e-commerce companies. So some of the clients I work with are folks like Campaign Monitor, Get Feedback. And then I do a lot of guest posting too, writing kind of authority building pieces on places like Copy Hackers, Kissmetrics, SumoMe, just to name a few. So when I started, my focus was really broad, and I offered a lot of digital marketing services, from social media to email marketing and writing. But I've really kind of niched down my focus to just the copywriting aspect of the business and focusing on that realm of e-commerce and software companies.
That's awesome. So you told me before the show that you've been doing this for, I think you said 3 years and 3 months, been working for yourself. Is that correct?
That's correct. I just pulled that off my LinkedIn profile. So that's, I'm not counting that closely.
Okay. I was wondering about that. When people ask me how long I've been on my own, I tell them 16 months, and then I see them doing mental math. I'm like, year and a half, forget about it. So why did you start doing your own thing 3 years and 3 months ago?
Well, I really wanted the opportunity to challenge myself. And I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial background. I had my own e-commerce store while I was in college, and that did really well. I ended up having that for about 5 years. And so I had some background experience with owning a business and, figuring out marketing and all of those things that I learned while I was in college getting my communications degree. So when I had the job that was a full-time job in nonprofit PR, I really loved it, but especially in the nonprofit world, I felt really limited by resources and, financial resources, especially. There wasn't a lot I could really do. So I wanted to kind of experiment and started doing some freelance social media work and freelance writing on the side. And in about 6 months, I was able to transition out of my full-time job and into the full-time freelancing work, just because I had built up enough that I felt comfortable, income-wise, to make that transition. And I said, okay, I'll give myself 18 months. We'll see how this goes. And, you know, I haven't looked back for 3 years. It's continued to grow. The business has grown about 50% year over year. And, you know, once I niched down and started focusing on that very specific group of customers, that's when my business really started to grow. So, yeah, it's just kind of been a natural progression. Built a lot of wonderful relationships with people that have helped me, you know, find work and connect people too when maybe I'm not a good fit for opportunities. So, yeah, I just kind of transitioned that way and have really enjoyed working for myself.
That's amazing. So, did you start picking up freelance clients because you wanted to go out and do your own thing, or were you just kind of trying to get some more experience? And then eventually you're like, wait, I could do this full time.
I think it was a little bit of both. Definitely in the beginning, I wanted to get some practice, and I thought, oh gosh, this would be great if I could do this full time, but I didn't know how feasible it was. And it kind of surprised me how quickly it snowballed into, wow, I actually can do this full time. So yeah, it was a little bit of a leap of faith, but like I said, I had some clients in place. I had a few retainer clients too, which made things really nice and stable. So yeah, it was kind of surprising, and it was a pleasant surprise.
That's fantastic. I love hearing stories like that where people all of a sudden go, wait, actually, I want to do this and have the freedom to work for myself. So
Yeah.
let's pivot a little bit, and I want to ask you more about the niching down, because when you started, you're doing kind of all the things. You're doing social media and email and copywriting and all of that. At what point did you say, wait, actually, I should probably focus down? And then how did you make that shift? Because I'm assuming you had some like social media clients and that sort of thing. So how did you make that change, and kind of, and how did business go? I mean, like, did revenue drop? What were kind of the different lessons that you learned through doing that?
Yeah, so about a year into freelancing full time, I decided that I probably needed to shift my focus into doing the type of work that I really enjoyed working with the clients that I found most interesting and I most enjoyed working with. So I transitioned out of the brand name, which was Lumen, kind of the umbrella, and it's still the name of the LLC I use, but was kind of the umbrella for all of the different services that I was offering to basically anyone who wanted to work with me. And that was fine as far as, you know, keeping steady work going, but I really decided I wanted to do the freelance writing because it was what I enjoyed most. And the clients I found myself working with most of the time kind of already fell into the software and e-commerce world. With the background that I had for my e-commerce store and then with the kind of base of clients that I had built up early on, that just seemed like the most natural group of customers to kind of target, and that was the area that I had the most expertise in as well. So I switched into using my personal name as a freelance writer to just kind of market myself as myself instead of a brand name, and created a new website, which was kayleemoore.com. That's still what I use today. And yeah, just kind of shifted my focus into being a little bit more specific and focusing on the work that I really liked. And it actually kind of paid off, I think, in a big way because as soon as I started focusing on this smaller group of customers and on this very specific type of service, people came to know me for that. And so I was getting more referrals. I was building up my subject matter expertise in this, you know, kind of topical region. And I was able to just kind of build connections within a very specific group of people instead of trying to be everything to everyone. So yeah, it definitely didn't impact my revenues negatively. I would say the first year I grew my income about 50%, and then the second year 60%, and that's because each year I'm further niching down and you know better understanding the audience and the people I'm trying to connect with and work with more and more, and being successful at that.
That's awesome. So, were there any tough like conversations with clients through there where you're saying, I'm niching down, I'm going to focus on this, and so, I've been doing social media for you, for example, and but I'm happy to help you find, another agency or something like that. Did you have to have any of those tough conversations, or was it really pretty seamless? Because it
It
sounds
was,
like it was pretty like pretty straightforward.
yeah, it was pretty seamless. I did keep a couple clients on retainer because, you know, they were pretty low maintenance. A lot of the work that I was doing for them wasn't taking up a lot of my bandwidth, and I could still kind of continue to do those things for them. But what I stopped doing was saying yes to new work. So I just kind of put a hard stop to accepting new clients who wanted the social media work and said, hey, you know, I'm not really doing that anymore. I'm doing this. If you still need that kind of work, I'm happy to introduce you to someone who can specialize in that for you, but just not accepting future clients.
I gotcha. That makes a ton of sense. And it's a very, very smart way to do it. I've heard of a number of freelancers that have done that same thing and kind of approached it that way. And it seems to be the best way to do it. So kudos to you for making that happen.
Thank you.
So I guess the next question that I have for you is, I mean, it sounds like you've always kind of had you said that you've always had an entrepreneurial bent. You know, you did your e-commerce store, now you're running your own freelancing business. You've been doing that for a while, and it sounds like you're happy. What do you love about being an entrepreneur? Like, what does it afford you? What does working for yourself afford you? And would you ever go back to working for somebody else? And if so, in what cases?
So the things that I love most about working for myself is definitely the flexibility. I mean, I'm somebody who is a pretty efficient worker. I'm what you would call a procrastinator. So I work ahead of schedule. So it allows, what's that?
You and me both.
Yes. And so it allows me to kind of work at the pace that's best suited for my work style. And it gives me, you know, I can fit a lot into a day. Whereas before, you know, in an office, there's interruptions, there's things that mess up your workflow. And this allows me to be really, really productive. So I love the flexibility. And that makes me wonder if I could ever go back to an office. But the one thing that I think is kind of a downside of working by yourself, working from home, which is what I do, is that it gets really lonely. And especially in the Midwest where I live, where it's winter, you know, you spend a lot of time indoors. And so I find myself feeling a little bit isolated. And I'm working hard to be part of communities, Slack channels, Facebook groups, things like that, to stay connected with people. But there's still not a lot of face-to-face interaction. So I have been working with a couple other freelancers, kind of organizing get-togethers for later in the year. So I get some FaceTime with other human beings who understand kind of the same pain points that I'm dealing with. But so it's kind of a blessing and a curse thing. I mean, I love the fact that I get to work from home, that I get to have my dog and my cat here as my coworkers, but unfortunately they don't talk. So
That's true.
So it can get kind of lonely for sure.
What kind of dog do you have?
A golden retriever named Brooks.
Awesome. I have a 100-pound Labrador named Butterbean. So I call him my co-founder.
Yes, exactly.
But I hear you on the being an entrepreneur can get lonely. So, I mean, I think you just mentioned a couple of the ways that you've dealt with that. But what have been some of the most like effective ways for kind of combating that, you know, entrepreneurial isolation? Because it sounds like you don't have a business partner. Is that correct?
Well, I do work with my husband. He works on the design aspect of our business. He offers those types of services, but he also has a full-time job so that I'm still home by myself, you know, 8-9 hours out of the day. So, you know, what I've been finding works well for me at least is to just go to a coffee shop and work for one day a week or 2 days a week, or take some time to get lunch with a friend that I haven't seen in a while. Just really kind of making it a priority to get out of the house and not just spend Monday through Friday working from home and not really leaving, because that's when it seems to get worse, is when I'm not making an effort to get out. So just being very deliberate about getting out into the world and interacting with other people.
Absolutely. So when you're at home, this is interesting to me because I just moved to Denver and we have now a second bedroom, which I've never had a second bedroom before, like an extra bedroom. So I'm going to turn it into my office, you know, and get off from working on the couch. Like literally right now I'm sitting on my bed recording this episode. So I'm trying to build out, I'm going to build out an office to kind of get that split between personal and work. So how do you kind of balance that, you know, personal and work lives kind of, you know, intermingling, or do you not really deal with that tension?
You know, I do have a separate office that's a room in our house, but it's hard because it is all still the square footage, you know, the same square footage. And there can be days, like I said, in the winter where it's really cold and you don't leave the house for a couple days, like at all, ever. So it's tough. I think I found the best way for me to have that hard line between life and work is to just have working hours established. That's a big one. And, you know, turning off the push notifications on your phone and things like that, so you're not constantly blending your time and, you know, spending your time working when you're supposed to be relaxing or, you know, living your life, whatever it may be. But yeah, I've worked really hard to enforce kind of strict working hours and not replying to emails outside of those hours. That's been helpful. But as far as the workspace, it's tough. It's tough when your office is in your home, because it is all the same space, and getting out to go to a coffee shop or something like that helps, but, it can still be a bit much to spend so much time in the same space.
Absolutely. I completely hear you on that. So, I mean, it sounds like you have, you know, a fair bit of entrepreneurial experience and working for yourself and all that. So what would you tell people that, you know, are in the shoes where you were, you know, 3.5, 4 years ago, where they have a full-time job and they're thinking about going out on their own? What are some of the things that you would tell them as they're, you know, starting to think about that? Or maybe they have, you know, one client, they're kind of trying to figure out their next steps.
I would definitely say to start being an active part of communities where people who are doing what you're doing are spending time. So the reason I say that is because over the past 3 years, so much of my work has come through referrals. And I think that that's probably pretty fair to say for a lot of freelancers and a lot of people who do client services type work. So being a part of those communities allows you to make those connections and you know, have those sources of referrals or recommendations for gigs that you might be a good fit for, or repeated client work and opportunities. I wish I would have known that sooner, because now it's, like I said, it's the main way I get work is through referrals and handed off work from other freelancers. So yeah, definitely start participating in spaces where your fellow freelancers or whatever it may be are spending time. I think the other thing is, it can be so intimidating when you're getting started to know how to handle the tax side of things and the accounting. And if that's not your specialty, all of that can be very intimidating. And it was for me. That was one of the big hurdles, was I didn't know how to handle any of that. So I just outsource it. I work with a local accountant and she takes care of all of it for me. And it makes my life so much easier, so much less stressful. And it was really just as simple as that, deferring the work out to an expert. And it was that simple, you know, problem solved. And I think that a lot of things, when you're starting your own business, that's the simple solution, is just to hire somebody who's better at it than you are to help you with the things that are scaring you or maybe keeping you from getting started.
I love it. My old therapist calls that being wise, not smart. You're not trying to figure it out because you're intelligent enough to do it, but you're reaching out to other people that it is their specialty and getting them to help you out. I love that approach to business. I think it's one that a lot of other solo entrepreneurs need to learn. It's one that I'm trying to learn myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hard lesson to learn. It's not easy. Easier said than done.
Absolutely. 100%. Especially if you're, you know, pre-revenue or your revenues are super low and you're trying to, you know, support yourself. Maybe you're single and, you know, just starting out or something like that. That's great. So let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. So I have one final question for you, and then I want you to tell us where people can find you online. So my final question is, what's next for Kaylee Moore in 2017? What are do you have goals for this year and you know, thinking forward over the next couple years? And then if people are looking to, you know, looking for the kind of services that you offer, you know, copywriting and guest posting and that sort of thing for, you know, SaaS businesses and technology companies, where can they find you online?
So my goals for the year ahead, I always struggle with this because right now I'm so happy with how things are going and where I'm at. I increased my revenue by 60% over last year, and that was kind of crazy. The beginning of the year, I did a ton of work and I was really, really busy and, you know, on the same token, also very stressed out. So this year, you know, my revenue goal is definitely lower than what it was last year because I need my sanity. And I think that was just a bit overloaded. So definitely a lower income goal, which is fine. You know, just working with more clients who fit with exactly, you know, who I'm looking for, the type of work I love to do. I've been focusing more and more on e-commerce. So I've really enjoyed getting to know a few new e-commerce clients. That's been really great. I hope to release a couple of ebooks. I continue to send out a newsletter with copywriting and freelancing tips twice a month. That's called A Cup of Copy, and people can sign up on my website. And I also just introduced a coaching program for new freelance writers who are just getting started. When I was getting started, I had so many questions and nobody to ask. So I am just getting ready to roll out a 4-week coaching program for those writers who are looking for somebody to kind of walk them through getting started. And that's kind of all I've got right now. I know it's not a ton, but like I said, I'm so happy with how things are going, and I'm enjoying it while I can. I don't know if it'll stay this great forever, but I'm just kind of wallowing in the wonderfulness.
Love to hear. And actually that is a lot going on. So kudos to you for kind of moving with the industry and making those things happen.
Thank you.
And so where can people find you online?
My website is kayleemoore.com. My first name is very hard to spell, so I will make sure that there's a link for that. That's the primary place to find me. On Twitter, I'm Kaylee F, and I can give a link for that as well. And Twitter's the best place to contact me. I spend a lot of time there. I think it's great for just kind of having a direct place to go back and forth with people. So yeah, I would love to connect with anybody there.
Fantastic. Well, Kaylee, thank you for taking time to be on the CredoCast today. And I wish you the best of luck in your business in 2017 and beyond.